Good evening, everybody. Brian Newberg here from goldenblack.com. Not in a car this week. I didn't think my Uber driver would enjoy me recording a podcast in the backseat of his Toyota Corolla. I'm in the lobby of my hotel here in Brooklyn, so you've got bar music coming from one side. You got Christmas carols from the lobby coming behind me. Hopefully you guys can hear me okay. This is Brian Newberg, in case you haven't figured that out by now, from goldenblack.com with your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast following Purdue's 82-70. Two overtime win over North Carolina State at the Hall of Fame Invitational in Brooklyn. This is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn, which I certainly will not be driving past tonight. Purdue, for 35 minutes, looked like a defeated team, looked like a shell of the team that you saw in November and into the start of December here. Looked shook, to be honest with you, by the Rutgers loss, and looked like they were not only on pace to lose to North Carolina State, but to get blown out by NC State with however much time was on the clock here. Hang on, let me review my notes. With 9 minutes and 7 seconds to go, this was a 13-point deficit Purdue had to overcome. They were turning the ball over too much, which is not something you're hearing me say for the first time this season. They were not very good on defense. They were not very disciplined on defense. Also not the first time you've heard me say that this season. And it almost got them beat. This was a really, really flawed performance by Purdue prior to the final few minutes of the game and into overtime, obviously. But, you know, obviously I've been kind of harping on the negative here in my post-game coverage to a certain extent, but you also have to give Purdue, I don't know what that is, that's a moped driving down the street in Brooklyn here. Anyway, you have to give Purdue a ton of credit here, obviously, for, you know, sort of coming back from the dead here, because Purdue, again, looked cooked. I think they really showed something from a personal pride perspective, from a just a competitive perspective, and that's sort of the bare minimum here when you're dealing with a team that should be as good as Purdue is, that has shown it can be as good as Purdue has been. That they showed a competitive pulse, you know, I think is kind of a non-negotiable, but seeing it nonetheless, you know, was a pretty big deal. And I think, you know, there was a point in time in this game, namely halftime, where it was clear this was going to be a struggle for Purdue, and they just needed to find a way to win this game and get the hell home and, you know, start reflecting on the Rutgers game and the North Carolina State game and seeing how much they can improve off of that. And for them to have actually pulled this out to salvage something from this trip out to the tri-state area was kind of, I don't want to say Purdue making par, but it's a big deal that they got the win, but it's a big deal that you averted the worst case scenario. So, you know, there's some theory of relativity there involved, if that's the right use of that term. It might not be, but I think, you know, Purdue wasn't very good against North Carolina State. They weren't very good against Rutgers the other night, obviously, but Purdue at Rutgers was just good enough to steal it, just good enough to escape. And they nearly did. And they didn't get away with it at Rutgers, but today they were just good enough to escape, and they got away with it. And I think, you know, the opponent had something to do with that. I think North Carolina State's maybe not the most present of mind teams at times. I think they run a very primitive sort of offense. They made some mistakes. But I think you do have to give Purdue a lot of credit for making a lot of big plays. And it's really hard with games like this because you leave your seat, you go down to the press conference, and you have to ask a bunch of questions, and you can't remember what happened. I'll never forget the Virginia game years ago. I left the floor, and I was having a hard time with my instant recall over, you know, what happened before what, or did who was it who made that shot, or what happened on the rebound, you know, whatever else. And you know, a lot of stuff over the last 5 minutes of regulation and the entirety of overtime kind of ran together. But then when I went back and read my illegible notes You know, Purdue, as flawed as they were defensively, they really kind of did this with defense. You know, they got a couple of steals. Eric Hunter made a couple of huge plays for Purdue. I think that requires mention because this was a big moment for him, I think. Travion Williams had a steal that led to a Jaden Ivey run out. Purdue centers blocked a bunch of shots. Jaden Ivey blocked a bunch of shots. Purdue, you know, for as flawed as it was defensively, it was really impactful defensively. And I think that's just part of what I'm talking about here in terms of Purdue putting its best together when it needed it most. You look at Sasha Stefanovic having a really forgettable shooting game, 0-for-4 from 3 prior to the final stretch of the game, and then he makes the really big one with a minute 20 to go. He makes the first one in overtime. He passes on a bad one with 22 seconds to go, gets in the lane, makes a little George Gervin finger roll, which I've never seen him do, and I don't know if I ever will again. But just big plays made by Sasha Stefanovic after a stretch where these weren't his two best games of the season, clearly the last two games. But again, a senior rising to the occasion the same way Travion Williams did, the same way Eric Hunter did. That's what you want from seniors. But it was sophomores too, because obviously we sort of take Jaden Ivey for granted at this point, because you just expect him to go quietly get a 22-point game and have a couple of, you know, Sports Center top tens in every game. Travion Williams was the game's dominant force, obviously down the final 10 minutes of the game, once again putting Purdue on his back and carrying it across the finish line. But, you know, the two guys here clearly who gave Purdue so much more than the box score will tell you were Mason Gillis and Ethan Morton. I thought those two guys were, you know, beyond their role player labels, or at least the labels I give them. I think it's reasonable to do so. I think those guys both really were central figures to Purdue winning this game, because once again, and I can't believe I'm saying this again, but Purdue is subbing in Ethan Morton for defense. I don't think anybody thought that, you know, Ethan Morton would be in a place defensively at this point in his career where, you know, he would go out there and he would have to guard Ron Harper and do an okay job until the final few minutes of the game, where Harper really asserted it, the matchup problems he causes for anybody, let alone Ethan Morton. And then I thought Morton did a pretty decent job on Darion Seaborn from NC State. Again, another situation where they needed somebody to match up on Seaborn. That's not a matchup Caleb First is necessarily really well suited for. Purdue's called on Ethan Morton, asked a lot of him defensively the past two games, and he's done a good job. And that, on top of, you know, the 6 points and 2 assists he gives Purdue off the bench, a lot of which came during the stretch where Purdue won this game. He had at least 4 of his points during the final few minutes of regulation, and he had one of his assists in overtime. A really nice play to Eric Hunter. A really nice play by Eric Hunter, too, to have some awareness about him and cut to the basket when Ethan Morton was pivoting around in the lane, running the risk of the rare 3-second violation on a non-center. But Eric Hunter was, you know, did some really good things. Ethan Morton did some really good things. But Mason Gillis, obviously, really sparked them with his effort, his tenacity, and just the shot of energy he gave Purdue. And his 9 points and 4 rebounds are great from a productivity perspective, but I just thought the intangible was the bigger deal for Mason Gillis. You know, Purdue's had kind of a carousel going at the four here the last two games. But that lines up with what Painter said before the season, where there's going to be fluctuations from night to night based on matchups at times or based on who's the hot hand. And, you know, I thought Ethan Morton and Mason Gillis obviously were doing so many positive things for Purdue today that, you know, this wasn't Caleb First night. But you know what? The next game might be Caleb First night. Just like, you know, the past few games have been Travion Williams nights. The next night might be Zach Edey's night. This is a team where, you know, it literally could look very, very different from game to game here. And I think that's something we talked about in the preseason that has come true. But, you know, just kind of to sum this NC State game up, you know, you got to give Purdue a lot of credit for winning this game when it looked cooked. But you also cannot, if you're Purdue, if you're a Purdue stakeholder here, you need to view this in a way that the final score, the outcome, the fact you won this game does not obscure all that almost cost you this game. Because Purdue, again, this was true even when they were winning the championship in Connecticut and all that stuff, when they were plastering Florida State. Purdue has to keep getting better. They've got to be more disciplined, and they've got to be more detail-oriented, and they've got to be more cohesive on defense. They have to take better care of the basketball. And if Purdue didn't know those things coming to Jersey and coming to New York here these past couple of days, and they don't know them now, they're never gonna. Purdue's got to keep hammering away at that to become the team that they looked like earlier in the season, and to become the team that you want to be at the end of this season. So that's what I've got here from the lobby in my hotel in Brooklyn. Once again, thank you to our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Falls Purdue Bookstores, East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn. And I appreciate everybody listening. And I will talk to you guys again, what is it, Saturday, when Purdue plays Butler in the swan song of the Crossroads Classic. So thank you so much, everybody. Appreciate it, and take care.